Are you ready?
Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
And I am Jamie Hill. And I am so goddamn hot and sweaty right now.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. We both lived in California for a long time where temperatures routinely in the summertime got up above 100 degrees.
Sure.
You learn how to deal.
Yeah.
We moved to Washington. Our blood totally like thins out. Or what is it?
Also, the house we lived in the San Gabriel Valley, to be fair, had a couple of air conditioners.
It's true. And we don't have AC.
Which conditioned the air. I think the problem I'm reacting to right now is the lack of conditioning of the air.
I see. Yes. Heat wave here in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
It got up to 95 degrees the other day.
It's unreasonable.
Whoa.
Anyway,
so, hi. Yeah.
Welcome, everyone. We're so happy you're here.
Talking about the weather. That's what we're doing
That's
here.
That's good.
Now.
Yeah, because I'm 80 years old now. We had a house concert today, and one of the guests was saying how she has this brand new baby. It's like 10 months old, and she likes to watch Wheel of Fortune with it.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's amazing. You have a baby, and all of a sudden you're 80 years old.
Yeah. And so are you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Wheel of Fortune, weather, mad about all of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, hi, people. We're happy you're with us. Later on in this episode, we're going to be talking about Clouds, song number 11, the penultimate song on Shannon's 2020 masterpiece, And Her Whisper Becomes a Storm.
Nice,
I like it.
Nice use of the word penultimate.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, and thank you for your patronizing words?
No.
No, okay.
I'm sincere as hell. I think it's your best work.
Oh, thank you.
By far.
Okay, cool. That's
Seriously,
great.
Like, I thought last year's work was your best work, but this one, to me, blew it out of the water.
Well, that's awesome.
Like, to me, this is like a really, really good record.
Thank you.
And people seem to be resonating with
it. It's true, and I'm grateful for that. And yeah, so we're going to talk about clouds.
Uh-huh.
Not clouds, actually. And actually, we are going to talk about clouds that form in the sky.
Yeah, because Shannon doesn't write songs with abstract metaphors, people. She researches the science, and she has accurate metaphors.
We're going to get into science later.
That sounds
fun. Stay tuned for the science.
Yeah, that's something you don't hear much. Come for the science. Stay for more science.
I wish there were more of that actually going on in the world right now.
Right? Jeez.
So yes, later on in this episode, we're going to continue the deep dive and we're already on the second to last song for the album. Very fun.
Yeah. And I think it's actually working out really well timing-wise because we'll do the last one next week and then we're on break.
We are taking a vacation, but we'll talk about that later. You continue with your welcome remarks here.
Sure. Happy to do it. So people, here's the deal. Misfit Stars, it's not just a podcast. It is a podcast, but it's also, and perhaps even more importantly, a community-centered endeavor.
It sure is.
And we want you to join us. The short version is just go to misfitstars.com/join. It's a subscription-based model. You can listen for free. And if you've been doing so this entire time, you're welcome to continue doing so.
Yeah.
And we're happy you're here, and we're so grateful that you're giving us your ears. But if you're not yet a supporting member, please consider becoming one. It's inexpensive. It starts at $5 a month. It's a way to support the work that Shannon and I are doing in the world, which is community-based and humanist in nature. We try to be helpers.
Yeah.
And this is a way that you can help us help people. We tend to just take any generosity shown to us and turn it right around and let it benefit someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how we operate. So if you want to help put good things into the world, you can do that at misfitstars.com/join. And it's not just a one-way street. We then will be able to give you the single biggest gift you maybe ever will receive in your life, which is an invitation to the Misfit Stars private Facebook group. And I'm not engaging in some shallow puffery here. It's an amazing place.
It is.
It is this place that Shannon and I have curated very carefully over the last couple of years to be a place where people are not just permitted, but expected always to be vulnerable and kind and open-hearted and never to put one another down, but only ever to lift one another up so that we can learn and grow and help each other do that so we become better versions of ourselves.
It's the best place on the internet.
If I've just described something that sounds like you, sounds like something you'd like, yes, you would love it. Get yourself in. MisfitStars.com/join.
That's right. You know, actually, a better way to say it, like you say that we've curated it to
better.
Be this way. Well, just that I don't know that
I haven't heard it yet. It could be better.
We can't really take all the credit for the character of this group.
True.
So much of that is...
We are the admins.
No, I know that. But what I'm saying is that the group is so great because of what the members in the group bring to it.
Yes, that's
true. And
that's
really everything. So you definitely want to be part of this group. Go to misfitstars.com/join. Do the thing.
Do it.
It'd be awesome.
We would love to have you in there.
Yes, we really would. What else?
That's it. I was going to say, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and a glowing review. And you know what, people? You could do that. Oh.
You just said it.
Oh, that's true. I was going to do that, but now I'm like, I don't even care about anything anymore. Everything's on fire. In the grand scheme of things, what does a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts matter? It just doesn't.
What indeed.
Yeah. We're grateful you're here.
Yes.
If you would like other people to find this thing that you love, then you can do the review thing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, don't. Maybe you want to keep it for yourself. I understand that. I understand wanting to have something nice that no one else has in this time. It's a reasonable response.
Totally. So let's check in. How are you feeling?
Oh, you know. Well, you don't. You asked. Let me verbalize my feelings for the people on the other end of this. I'm okay. I'm not great, but I'm okay. I'm a little bit anxious. I might be slightly depressed, but not... I mean, I don't want people to worry. It's like a 0.5 out of 10 or a 1 out of 10. Mm-hmm. It's very small, but I notice it.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% myself. I'm endeavoring to be, but I note that it's an endeavor.
Yeah.
You know, and I can get there. I can be cheerful and engaging. It's not like I'm down in the doldrums and just can't. It's not like a deep depression, but I have been feeling overwhelmed this last week.
Yeah.
Everything's on fire. Everything continues to be on fire. And there's just so much noise. I mean, you and I noted to each other on, I think it was Saturday, might have been Sunday, that just the ambient level of tension in the world on that day that we noted it, it was palpable and extremely elevated.
Yeah.
And you know, it hasn't gone down a ton since then. It's maybe slightly less bad today, but it's still kind of up there. I have a feeling this is just going to be how things go for the next few months. I mean, what is it? What is it, like 78 days, 77 days until Election Day? However many it is, it'll probably be that many days of stress. I can't imagine there's going to be a lot of quote-unquote good days between now and then. You know what I mean?
You know, one moment of feeling good that I had over the last 24 hours is watching Michelle Obama's speech from the Democratic National Convention last night.
Great.
I watched it before going to bed last night because we were... occupied elsewhere during the actual time when it was airing. And so I watched it on replay before going to sleep. It was like a freaking bedtime story. It was great.
It was great.
I had lovely dreams and slept well just to hear somebody, hear a mature, empathetic adult speaking plainly about how we can do so much better to care for each other and that how we can actually choose leaders for ourselves that model that kind of behavior and lead us toward that.
Yeah.
If you want to make yourself feel good, just set aside 20 minutes and go listen.
It's not even that long. It's like 16 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. It's digestible.
If you haven't seen it, go watch it. If you've already seen it, go watch it again.
Right.
I listened to it for a second time when we were having dinner tonight. Well, because Jamie hadn't seen it yet.
Yeah. So like, I knew I wanted to, but I also knew I didn't want to feed my brain with that before bedtime.
I get it. No, that's fine. But I'm saying I heard it for a second time and it was great. Like I'm gonna like keep it on like a link on my phone so that I can just go watch it whenever I need to feel better.
I love it. Like a whoopee.
Like a Michelle Obama whoopee. But yeah, so I kind of interrupted your...
It was so nice to hear someone's like explicitly centering the idea of empathy as a national value, as a core value. How long has it been since we've heard anyone at the highest levels of our leadership even obliquely mention the idea of empathy? I mean, it's been 3.5 years. It doesn't exist at the level of this administration. It's not a value that they have.
Nope.
It's not something that anyone talks about.
No.
It's not part of their worldview on a fundamental level.
No.
You know? So they don't discuss it, because why would you discuss something that's not part of your worldview? It'd be like me discussing like water polo. Like, you know what I mean? Water polo is fine. It doesn't have a thing to do with my life, so I don't ever talk about it. And in the same way, like empathy is this administration's water polo. It's nice for other people, certainly. Nothing that they bother with.
Right.
And it's distressing. And I have gotten so used to them being horrible people that it's just kind of worn me down. I've gotten numb to it. But hearing somebody who, you know, who's of a leadership type, she's not a leader, but she was leader adjacent. She certainly has leadership qualities about her.
Oh, she's absolutely a leader.
Sure.
I mean, she wasn't an elected official.
That's right.
But she's absolutely a leader.
That's right. She's not a political leader, but yes, you're correct. And, you know, to hear somebody in an august position like that explicitly taking the time to talk about how empathy is important and should be a value that we all share. It's like, yes, actually, that's true. I forgot. Yeah.
Right. Right.
You know, so I don't know. Like, I'm excited about the DNC stuff. It seems like they're doing a great job with it. You know, and it's nice to have a whole bunch of people coming on and saying sane things. You know, it's a nice little bubble of sanity, and I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I'm also very cognizant of the idea that it's a bubble. and that it's not a place that the rest of the world shares generally.
Not all of them, yeah.
No. And, you know, I feel, as ever, optimistic about how things are going to go in November. Also, really fucking nervous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And every day I feel more of both. Because, you know, on one hand, it just seems like, how could this not work out well?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because, like, if things don't work out well in November, it's not just going to be like a, shucks, let's do better next time. It could very well mean that we transition how our form of government is in this country.
Yeah.
And that would not be good.
No.
Because right now we're a democracy. And mm-hmm. I don't want to live in a place that's on paper a democracy, but is actually a dictatorship or an oligarchy mm-hmm. Or any of those forms of authoritarian rule.
Yeah.
It's certainly the impulses and inclinations that this administration has. Mm-hmm. I mean, not in a hidden way. I mean, they're very overt about it.
Yeah.
And if they win, like, that's how they're going to do things. And that's terrifying to me. And it's so terrifying and it's so extreme that it just seems impossible. But also, I recognize it's not impossible. And that's where the stress comes from.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, not to get too much off of, like, how you're feeling, check in.
It doesn't even matter.
Okay.
How I'm feeling doesn't matter. Nothing matters. I'm just trying to make it through the day.
Okay, great. But, you know...
I'm fine.
Yeah. That idea of... I think that, naively, I grew up with the notion and spent most of my adult life... with the idea that, like, America just is. Our democracy just is.
Mm.
It's something that's existed for... I mean, I know that it hasn't existed forever, but, you know, I think that I have understood the way our system works, the way that our representative democracy works, to be just a thing that is... a thing that exists and does not change... And that's not true. Like,
no.
Like, it's only true as long as we keep it true, as long as we participate in the system and keep it. Like,
fragile plant. We need to water it constantly.
You don't get to keep democracy. Like, it doesn't, there's no autopilot for democracy. You get to keep it if you work for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand that until this time. And wow, it's not a permanent fixture. And to grapple with that is a really, you know, and here's the other thing. We are steeped in the kinds of stories. Like think about all the blockbuster movies that you've seen over the... Think about the novels you've read.
Right.
Think about, you know...
The good guy always wins in the end. It's hard.
It's... Yeah, there's a struggle, but the good guy wins.
Yeah.
And...
It's like the very definition of, like, an American version of a storytelling.
Right. And so I think that we are really steeped in this idea that, like, oh, well, this is, you know, this is the dark act two.
Yeah.
And surely act three is going to come around and everything's going to work out fine. That's not a guarantee.
No.
That's just how fiction works, and that this is not fiction.
Yeah, no, we are currently writing that script.
Yeah, and...
Act three is based on what we do in the next 77 days.
It really is. It really is.
And not just that, right? Like, here's a short list of two things I'm very nervous about. The first one is everything between now and November 3rd, and the second one is what happens between November 3rd and January 20th.
Sure. Can we just take one chunk at a time, though? Because that just feels overwhelming. That's like at the beginning of COVID, you know, trying to game out what was going to be happening 6 months, 8 months, 9 months down the road.
Turns out more COVID. Now we know.
Yeah, I know. But then, back then, I was like, I can take it in 1 month period of time. That's about as much as I can take right now.
Yeah.
And same with this whole scenario. Like, right now, the next right thing is each and every one of us who... is awake to the notion that our democracy is on the line, works their butt off and does whatever they can to help get everyone they know registered to vote.
Yeah.
Get ballots.
Get your ballots now.
And
you can request mail-in ballots or absentee ballots in places where you can request them. In most places, by now.
And also to get involved in text and phone banking campaigns to get out the vote.
If you need help figuring out how to do that, message one of us. We will point you in the right direction.
Yes, we have resources.
Also, go to votesaveamerica.com.
That's a great place to go. That's where I would point you.
There you go. Okay, well, we made that easy.
So, you know... Yeah, I think that the next right thing right now is to work our butts off.
Yep.
Between now and then. And so can I segue into how I'm feeling and my check-in?
No, hold on.
Okay.
Shannon, how are you feeling?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's just nicer when someone asks. It's like with my production things, you know what I mean?
Okay,
like
well,
I want to be asked and I want to ask you,
okay.
How are you feeling?
Great. Well, I'll remember to ask you about that today too.
Great.
I'm okay. I'm, you know, like you, mostly fine.
With an asterisk.
Mostly fine with an asterisk, yes. You know, we had a house concert earlier this evening with one of our Misfit stars, Sarah, which was just lovely.
It was the best.
And we, our post-concert conversation time whittled down at the end to just me and Jamie and Sarah.
Yeah, that was great.
Everybody else had gone, and so at the very end, it was just the three of us, and she was sharing, you know, just about how she's been doing this time. She's a frontline healthcare worker. She's been working as a travel nurse in Seattle for the last 6 months.
So like ground zero.
Yeah. She works in labor and delivery, but she still is very much affected by the influx of COVID patients. And she sees people who are giving birth who are positive for COVID.
Yeah. She's not walled off from it just by working in a different unit.
So, but anyway, she was sharing, you know, with us about how she was doing, and she shared some just progression of her emotional state over the last number of months. And, you know, as she was sharing, I realized that I think it would be accurate to describe some of what I've been experiencing over the last number of months, but specifically over the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I probably am in a low grade kind of way experiencing some depression also.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like I'm nothing to be concerned about. It's just that the stuff is weighing in a way that makes me feel, I know that one of the ways in which depression can manifest for me is in the idea of the impossible task.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I've found myself confronted with over the last few weeks, especially where it's a simple thing like doing laundry. We have a machine that does the laundry.
Just got to put in really.
It's in the basement. And all I gotta do is put in.
Can't do it.
But like getting the clothes together and walking them down to the basement.
Which also, the clothes are already together in the hamper.
Yeah.
It couldn't be easier. None of this could be easier.
It could not be easier. But just one of the ways in which depression manifests for me is that small task becoming an impossible one.
Sure.
Even though it would be simple to do, I have the capacity to do it.
Ugh, I feel you on that.
It's just the doing it. You know,
I've had a voicemail I haven't listened to for 5 days.
Oh, wow.
It's 30 seconds long. It's from a dear friend. Can't do it.
I get that. That happens for me too. So it was just important for me to acknowledge that I think, okay, like that's something that's happening here. And, you know, it's probably that's not going to change. I don't see any change on the horizon there, but it's happening. And I think just acknowledging it is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that, you know, we started doing our self-care sound off in our Misfit Stars group this week. We're going to do a weekly check-in on that.
Not just in the group, just on my general Facebook.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. I think that I'm realizing that I probably need a day off.
Yeah, that's probably true.
In terms of like self-care, you know, I feel like we've been burning the candle. We've been doing this backyard project, which has been really fun, but physically exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy doing it, but I think I just need a day where I don't have anything scheduled, where I can just kind of let my whims lead me and to not feel like I'm tied to anything.
That's a good idea.
So, but you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right.
With a big asterisk.
Yeah.
I feel you. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's hard. Like, I've definitely noticed that, like, you're not yourself, you know?
Really?
And I'm sure you've noticed it about me here and there, too.
Sure.
You know? And it's tough, right? Because, like, I feel so empathetic toward you. Also, there's nothing I can do about it. And it sucks.
Hmm.
I want to do things about that for you, but I cannot.
No.
No, it's very sad.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Sarah and her concert, only because I think it would fit fine here. Sarah, in her conversation with us there toward the end today, used a phrase that I've not heard before, but which resonated with me so vividly.
Yeah.
The phrase was moral injury. As in, she was using it in the sense of she was saying that she feels that we've just all been sustaining incurring a sustained moral injury for the last long time.
Yeah.
And what an insightful way to frame it, you know?
Yeah.
The idea that, like, your morality is something, it's also, like, it's not static, and it's a living thing, and it can be injured. I hadn't really framed it that way with myself before, but to hear it framed like that really was, like, kind of revolutionary for me in a way. Like, it's really got me thinking, you know? Like, the idea that, like, you're not just offended, you know?
Right.
Usually when you think about morality, like, if something happens that would be counter to it, like, it's offensive, or it's dispiriting, or it's depressing, or it's insulting, or it's something like that. But you don't think of it like an injury. It's a more tender way to frame it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, a more personal way. Like, it's not just something, like, you don't deflect it but then have a bruise. Like, it lodges in you, you know?
Right.
And I really feel that.
Yeah. Yeah, like in terms of when you're saying morality, you're not saying, like, right versus wrong. You're saying, like, morality in terms of, like, a morale? Or I'm not, I guess
no,
I'm having a hard time understanding.
It means right versus wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, for example, you know, there's a lot of things happening in the world that are bad.
Yes.
And specifically in our country.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And they're bad for moral reasons, right? They involve, you know, I mean, all the shit at the border, families being torn apart, et cetera. That's one whole quadrant of it.
Right.
There's the much more general moral injury of any single person in our country not having access to the healthcare they need for free.
Yeah.
For free. Everyone should have that for free. It's uncontroversial.
Mm-hmm.
Every other country in the world does it but us.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's not that we're better than everyone. That's not why. You know?
Right.
And I don't need to enumerate every single terrible thing that's going on in our world, but there's a lot of them.
Mm.
But they do redound to a sense of feeling of personal injury.
Mm.
You know, I feel injured by this stuff. I don't feel angry about it. I feel injured by it.
Yeah.
It's not a reactive thing.
It's
an empathetic thing.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
Like, we're all walking bruises.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
And it does stem precisely from my personal moral compass.
I see what you're
saying.
And
my understanding of right versus wrong.
Got it.
Right?
Yep. And yeah.
Yeah. So, like, my morality is literally being injured, and I feel it as an injury. And I've never heard that term put to it until this evening. And it was profound. It was like finding a diagnosis for something I didn't know before that I had.
Yeah.
Or something like, you know, you have something and you keep going to doctors and you're like, I don't have a name for that. And then you go to one who does and it, like, totally illuminates you.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's how it felt.
I get,
you know?
It
felt like someone finally precisely described the thing that I've been feeling. And that felt good.
Mm-hmm.
In that same way that, like, when you go to an AA meeting and someone tells your story and you identify and you feel less alone because someone has put their finger on the thing that you're feeling inside of you.
Yeah.
Sarah put her finger on the thing that I'm feeling inside of me.
Yeah.
And she gave it a name. And it's moral injury.
Thank you, Sarah.
Think that's really helpful.
Yeah, definitely. You know? Definitely. Yeah. You know, we've talked about all the bad. There's also been some good this
yes,
week.
Yes, there has.
Which, you know, sits in such beautiful stark relief to all the bad.
Yes.
We had our second Misfit Stars exclusive virtual concert.
Which was
last
great.
Last Friday.
Unsurprisingly.
It was just lovely.
Yeah.
You know, we'll probably have another one of these in October. We have not scheduled it yet, but Misfit Stars, if you're part of our Misfit Stars patron community, you can get yourself a seat.
Yeah, if you're interested, just message one of us so we can start a running list. That would be helpful.
Idea.
Yeah, and you can go to one if you've been before.
But the second one was Friday last weekend, and it was really lovely to spend time with Misfit Stars and for people to get to know each other. That's just a really fun part of those concerts for me is it for, you know, people who've interacted only with each other online to get to see each other face to face. And it was really, really awesome. Thank you for everybody who was there and participated in them. That was really great.
It's a very warm place.
It was. And then we did our very first ever Facebook Live acoustic concert on Sunday.
So good.
So if you wind back to the springtime when we did our sustainability fundraiser, when we were getting new people signed up for our Misfit Stars patron community.
Mm-hmm. At misfitstars.com/join.
Nice job.
Yeah.
One of the things that one of our goals that we met during that fundraiser was that if we met a certain goal, Jamie and I would start doing these monthly Facebook Live acoustic concerts. And we finally were able to schedule one because we finally had a spot in our schedule to do it because we were so booked with virtual concerts up until recently.
Good problem to have.
Yeah. So we did our first one. The set list was chosen by our Misfit Stars community. Mm-hmm. I put together a little Google Forms ballot for them to vote on. And I
Shannon really likes Google Forms, you guys.
Well, they're great. That's why. Yeah. I mean, it's indisputable. Yeah. But I put together this ballot for people to vote on, and it was just so fun over the course of the week to see which songs were rising to the top. And there was, you know, there ended up being 11 songs that made the cut this week, this month.
Shannon kept me apprised of the horse race. Like, which song was more popular? Now this one's more popular. Now this one's back in first again. Every day.
It was
very cute.
You weren't bothered?
No.
Okay, that's good.
I celebrate your little obsessions.
It was fun.
Yes.
I loved hearing what people wanted to hear, you know?
Yeah.
So they
make good choices, too. Like, sure, they did some, like, you know, some of the really predictable ones were there, obviously, like Boomerangs and Seesaws, Boom Before the Sun, you know, okay, fine, they're going to be there. I know. Those are all obvious. I could have told you those. But then there were some, like, really good, almost more like deep cut ones that like clearly tells that people have been paying attention. Like Continental Divide was on there.
I love it.
Wasn't because one person chose it. It was because enough people chose it in the balloting to get it into the top 10.
That's right.
And that's cool because to me, that's like one of your best songs and an all-time favorite. It's from 2014. It's
so fun.
It's much more toward the beginning of your career than the end.
It's the end.
Well, we don't know that.
What is the end?
I meant present day, but it came out weird. Everything just feels so fatalistic, you know?
So yeah, I mean, it was awesome to see the votes come in. The set list was really fun and great.
Yeah.
We got on it. Jamie played piano. I sang. We did the songs on Facebook Live. Had a great time doing that. But honestly, the best part of it for me was after the concert was over, getting on Facebook and getting to read through all the comments people had made in real time.
So good.
I wasn't able to read them. Well, I actually did see a few of them during the concert and it distracted me enough that I was like forgetting lyrics. So I had to try not to look at comments because that was
the best one, people.
Bad.
So Shannon was singing a song and the whole point of the song is it's a song about living in the present moment. And she was reading comments and fucking up the lyrics. And it was so good.
but when I got to a chance to go back and scroll through and read people's comments afterward, it was just such a cool thing. Like, because the comments that really, you know, jazzed me up were not the ones where you were all very kind and telling us that you were enjoying the concert. And I'm so glad for that. The comments that really jazzed me up were the ones where people were talking to each other and offering their own stories with regard to the songs or their own feelings. And then other people jumping in to like offer encouragement or support or just friendship. And like, these are folks
so
who don't
sweet.
Know each other
except
for, you know, because of this community. And I was beaming from ear to ear.
And it wasn't just people in the Misfit Stars community either.
That's true.
There were definitely a number of those people there, but there were also people who were not inside the Misfit Stars community yet, although you could fix that, misfitstars.com/join. And they were participating in both ways, like offering their stories and also offering compassionate words to other people.
Yeah.
Like, they get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's great.
It's really cool. I just, I'm grateful to be walking this journey with y'all.
Yeah.
It's just really neat.
Yeah.
So we can't wait to do our next Facebook Live concert. The cool twist about the next Facebook Live concert is it's happening in Spain. No.
Oh.
All of the songs that were in this concert set list will not be available to be voted upon for next month.
They'll be there, but they'll be grayed out.
So we're going to be able to, we're going to have a whole new set list.
Yep.
And those people who vote, our Misfit Stars community that votes on these songs will have to dig a little bit deeper in some cases.
And then month three, a little deeper still.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be so fun. So we do have a date for that next concert, don't we?
Oh, it's in the calendar. Let me take a peek.
It's in the calendar. I believe it is September 20th.
You're correct. It's September 20th.
September 20th.
It's a Sunday.
The next Facebook Live.
It'll be at 7 p.m. on the West Coast, 10 p.m. East Coast.
That's right.
Other various times if you're in Europe or Australia. But please try to make it.
That's right. So that was a highlight of my week. And
great.
Thank goodness.
We had no idea how cool it was going to be. You know? Like, it was, we knew it would be fun, but it was special. We had, I don't think I had any idea it was going to be so special.
Yeah.
It was great. I loved it. And I'm now very eager for the next one.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
So should we take a bit of a break and then come back and talk about clouds?
Yes, I think we should do that.
Let's do it.
Clouds after the break.
See you soon.
We missed you guys.
So we're continuing our deep dive. We're like getting close to the end of the deep dive.
Deep dive into Shannon's new masterwork, and her whisper becomes a storm. I'm not being sarcastic or patronizing. I think it's a great freaking record.
Thank you.
And I feel like I can say that objectively, even though I helped make it.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, I think it's a good record. I really do. I think the songs are great, and I think that the recordings are strong, the performances are good, and I think that you're saying things that people need to hear. That's what I think.
I'm saying stuff I need to hear.
That's it. Right?
You know, and so this album was written in the spirit of doing the next right thing.
That's right.
It was written in that way. It was written one song at a time from beginning to end.
Yeah.
And last week, we talked about Sympathetic Resonance, which was the first song with lyrics on this. Oh, no, it was the first song written after coronavirus hit.
Yeah.
And so these last few songs on the record were the post-COVID songs.
Mm-hmm.
Or the not post, because we're still in COVID, the COVID concurrent songs.
That's right.
But I had, you know, written the songs about, you know, the getting still and listening, the making the whisper of intention, the taking the first step that sets everything in motion, the how to flow around the obstacles in the path, and then finding, you know, the refueling of your courage by watching somebody else, you know, walking forward on their path. And then we get to clouds, which is the idea of a bunch of people who have done that work. They've done the first several steps in this process.
Mm-hmm.
They've done the listening.
Each individually
on their own, having recognized to their left and to their right that there are others doing that too,
mm-hmm.
and then coming together to create something that is bigger, larger, more powerful than the sum of its parts.
Mm.
That's the idea behind clouds, is that there's this gathering of all our whispers, our intentions, our dreams, our hopes, our imaginations for what our lives in the world could be.
So are you going to start talking about science now?
Oh yeah, we could talk about science.
Okay.
So the image that came to my mind honestly, this song really is kind of like most closely related to Bending the Atmosphere on this album in terms of theme and imagery, you know?
Yep, like, that's true.
So this was the storm building part of things, right? This is the whisper becoming the storm. This is the storm part of it, right? And so I knew that the imagery was going to be surrounding the idea of clouds, or I thought that's what it was going to be, a storm cloud, you know? And so I thought it was probably prudent before I started writing the song that I research formation of clouds.
Yeah, sounds smart.
And so I actually spent a good bit of time like reading on the interwebs how clouds form.
Mm-hmm.
I had a general idea and a memory from my science classes back in high school and college.
Sure.
But you know, I wanted to refresh.
That's like one of the first things you learn in like elementary school science, isn't it? The water cycle.
Right. Yeah.
It's like the first big science concept when you're in like fourth grade.
So I got into, you know, researching a little bit about the clouds, and you know, clouds form, like thunderclouds form when the sun heats up the earth, mm-hmm. and warm air rises,
yep.
and cool air sinks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what forms cumulonimbus clouds,
yes.
which are thunderheads, yes. thunderclouds. And so, and as the warm air rises, whatever moisture is in the air turns into water droplets in the cloud. And then eventually those water droplets are what become rain and hail and, mm-hmm. And the clouds themselves too. That the clouds are formations of water droplets, right? And so I had this idea that, you know, with every time you exhale, okay, here's a funny, like, not funny. Have you seen that meme going around about like why it's important to wear a mask?
Yeah, and it's got two people outside on a very cold day and they're talking with each other and you can see their breath.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's an illustration of the fact that whenever we speak, whenever we open our mouths and, you know, and say something, we are expelling air into, we're expelling moisture into the air.
That's right.
Right? We expel these little, we know more about this kind of thing than collectively we did 6 months ago, I think.
Some of us do, Shannon.
Right.
And some of us don't.
Fair point. But every time we open up our mouths to speak, we're putting moisture into the air. And so this idea that, you know, if each of us is doing that whispering, right?
Yeah.
Speaking into existence the things that we want to see happen in our lives, in the world, that imagine those things as being little water droplets, every single one of them.
We don't even have to imagine. It's literally
true. It literally is true.
If you're whispering them out loud, you are making little spit clouds.
That's right.
That's the less poetic way to say it.
Little spit clouds. Well, that's what the song should have been called.
Yeah. Why didn't you call the song Little Spit Clouds? Really?
But then, you know, think about, you know, the earth heat, the sun heating up the earth and those all those water droplets rising up into the sky, intermingling with all of the other whispers from everybody else who's done the same thing and becoming this mighty cloud.
Yeah.
You know, that was sort of the initial idea. Then I started researching more about...
If you take it literally, it's kind of a gross idea because what you're really talking about is a bunch of people's exhalations all forming together to make a super exhalation cloud.
Yeah, totally.
Which would probably not smell great.
It probably wouldn't. You're right.
Like, I chew gum a lot because I used to smoke and also I have a dry mouth. Uh-huh. And so probably my like spit cloud exhalation would actually smell pretty good.
It would smell like peppermint.
It'd be minty.
Spearmint.
But most people probably not so much.
Maybe not.
Yeah, it'd be probably kind of a stinky cloud, really.
Right. Well, it's a metaphor, so it doesn't stink.
Okay.
But, you know, I was thinking about like the kinds of things that would be like the water droplets that might form this. So not just our whispers, but like, you know, when you sweat, when you've like put in like hard work at mm-hmm. something and your body sweats, it's all moisture on your skin, right? And so I was imagining like the things that we've worked really hard for, you know, and the sweat coming off, evaporating off of our bodies, going up and helping to form that cloud. The tears that we have cried over losses, over pain, over, you know, just hard stuff we've been through, that's not for naught, that those tears can become part of those, that cloud also. All the ways in which we make water droplets with our work and our tears and our whispers of imagination, all those things commingling together. Mm-hmm. And so I continued researching about the clouds, right? So in a thundercloud, as that warm air is rising and the cool air is sinking, one of the things that happens is that ions in the cloud that are positively charged mm-hmm. go, I believe, to the top of the cloud. Maybe you can go either way, but they separate. The positive and negative ions separate mm-hmm. and they go to opposite ends of the cloud, mm-hmm. creating an electrical charge.
Sure.
When you have, you know, ions that are opposite each other, you have a buildup of energy in that, and that's what causes lightning in a thundercloud, the release of that energy as it connects to the earth or to a light pole or to whatever, you know, mm-hmm. that's how lightning forms. And so I had this idea that, you know, all the stuff we've been through, all of the joys, all of the pains, all of the things we've worked hard for, things we've hoped for, things we've put, you know, all the next right steps that we've taken, next right things that we've done in our lives, that all of that goes up into the cloud. And the positive ones and the negative ones are both important. They both need to be there. All the good stuff and the bad stuff, they all
That's true.
Are required to make that bolt of lightning, which, did you know that a bolt of lightning mm-hmm. is literally hotter and brighter than the actual sun?
What?
A bolt of lightning in its split second existence burns hotter and brighter than the actual sun. So that lyric that you hear in the song, when you hear that lyric, that's science. Hello.
Wow. See, I told you people, Shanna's not just like saying pretty words. She has actual scientific backup for her science metaphors.
It's, you got to back it up. It's science. You can't just BS your way through science.
Well, you'd think, right? You'd think.
So anyway, that was the metaphor came together in my mind as I was doing all this research that guys, when we offer up all that we have, all that we are, all the stuff we've been through that's been hard, all the stuff that we have decided is the next right thing for us to do to walk forward toward, when we all do that together, the power that we create as a collective is amazing. Mm-hmm. And
in terms of literal electrical power.
Yes, it is metaphorical, but yeah.
Metaphorical, that's right. I meant the new meaning of the word literal, which actually means metaphorical.
Yes.
Or like when someone's like, my head literally exploded.
Yes.
They mean metaphorically.
Yes.
But now literally means metaphorically because we're getting dumber all of the time.
That's so true. So yeah, this was the theme for me. And then I remembered as I was doing all this research and learning about the power of, you know, all these water droplets coming together to form clouds and the power they can create together. I was reminded about my own personal definition of God.
Really? Wow.
Because
this took a left turn.
Right. Well, God in a loose sense, because I
small G God.
A small G God. In my recovery work, you know, I think I've shared on this podcast before that when I got to the part of the steps where I had to acknowledge a higher power. I'm like, what? No, thanks. I
just got out of this.
I just decided to be done with this higher power thing. I don't want to deal with this. And I was confronted with an opportunity to have to redefine what that meant for myself in this new, I needed to get over this hurdle because I really desperately wanted the kind of serenity and healing that I saw in those rooms of people that were already on their own paths of recovery.
Same. I came into the rooms an atheist. I remain an atheist, but now an atheist with an understanding of a higher power.
Exactly. So,
and peace and joy.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the thing I came around to was, you know, in identifying a power greater than myself, that when I sat in that room in my CODA circle with other people trying to get healthy, and I was listening to their stories, and I was listening to their successes and their failures, and their challenges and their triumphs, and I saw myself in their story, and there was a power in that room that was definitely greater than me.
Yeah.
Like, just me all alone, that didn't exist. Me plus all these other people working toward the same kinds of goals in our lives, it was a palpable power in that room.
Sure.
And so for me, my definition of a power greater than myself became that the notion of more than me plus other people working toward those similar goals together is a power greater than me. That's my own personal definition of God. That makes that I can jibe with that.
My sponsor guided me to a very similar understanding of it. He had a great I was about to say alchonym. he had an acronym for it. It was God, G-O-D, group of drunks.
Yeah.
Same basic idea, right? That the group of drunks who are helping each other stay sober. I mean, that's a power greater than myself, you know?
Yes.
Same basic idea as the one you had.
So honestly, the Clouds song is really about the idea of there being power greater than each individual person when we come together.
I love it.
And so when I say in the song, we are divine, you know, you can take that however you want, whether it's the cloud metaphor being sort of in the heavens or if your own personal definition of a higher power sounds something like or rhymes with mine, then you know that might make sense to you in that regard also.
You know, when you were talking about the ions separating
yes.
into positive and negative ends, you know what you reminded me of?
What?
Is something actually coronavirus related.
Oh, hey.
Because I was just reading the other day on the Dr. Bronner blog, because I'm a big nerd, about how hand sanitizer works. And here's how it works.
Okay.
This is so sciencey and interesting. So alcohol is an amphiphilic molecule, which means that one end is hydrophilic, water-loving, and the other end is lipophilic, fat-loving,
okay.
right?
Yeah.
Two different ends of the alcohol molecule. One loves water, one loves fat. The fat-loving end of the alcohol molecule attaches to the fat in the outer layers of bacteria and enveloped viruses, dissolving it and ripping the germ apart. The alcohol then follows up by pouncing on the proteins that spill out and breaking down their structure with the hydrophilic part of the molecule. Mm-hmm. How cool.
Very cool.
Like a 1-2 punch. Just so, you made me think of that. I just wanted to share that.
Oh, well, thanks.
That's all. Thought maybe someone else would find that as fascinating as
very,
I did.
Very, very interesting.
Speaking of things having two discrete ends. More and coming together science. To do something bigger than like just it by
yes.
itself. Yeah.
So,
more science. It's a science episode on Misfit Stars.
Right. Well, you know, that's pretty much the exhaustive list of like the background of the songs of the song Clouds.
That's good.
And maybe we should play it.
I'd love to.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is by Shannon Curtis. Off the masterpiece.
Oh, come on.
And her
now.
Whisper becomes a storm.
Stop it.
Clouds.
Hold on, our lives in flight.
Love that kind of feedback-y thing happening at the end. Like, how do you even make a keyboard feedback? I love it.
You use a distortion plugin.
Hell yeah. Same as a guitar, dummy.
I know. Yeah. I've discovered distortion plugins for my keyboards. It's pretty great.
Yeah, and you know what else? We actually, for this tour that we're on, because there's so much distorted and saturated piano on the record, we got a little pedal.
I have guitar pedals now.
Yeah.
But they're keyboard pedals because I play keyboard.
Yeah. But they make them now. They make ones where like the input impedance is such that you can put a line level signal into it and it won't like totally overload it. Usually if you plug a keyboard into a guitar pedal, like a keyboard's way louder than guitar, so it just like overloads and sounds like crap. But they have buffers in them now to make it so you can plug like a range of different types of things, not just guitars in, meaning that you can add just the right amount of distortion to that keyboard, not this total mess. It's great.
That's great. Yeah. For those non-technical music people, that sounds like,
I don't think that's true. I think I explained it very clearly.
Oh, no, you really did.
You know what Albert Einstein said? If you can't explain it to a six-year-old, you don't truly understand it.
Oh. So, production on the song, Jamie.
Thanks for asking.
Would you tell us some about the production on this song?
You know, a lot of the stuff on this came to me from you, and really, like a lot of the instrumentation, I did add a couple of things instrumentation wise. I added some pretty epic synthesizer stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and that's fun because it needed epic synthesizer stuff. Because look how epic. But I think mostly where I was able to do some effective work on this song was with vocal treatments, which is where I want to focus my comments today, Shannon.
Well, okay. I'm here for it.
And really, I was trying to make the sounds around the vocals throughout the song mimic and sort of underscore and almost be a parallel journey to the journey that the sort of imagined narrator is taking in this song too, right? Because this song is where you make that transition that you talked about, right? From like the one voice and all the individual voices.
Yeah.
And then that idea of them all coming together to make, you know, something bigger than yourself, which is maybe a more solid thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, to start off with... like the very first thing I tried to do is make your voice sound like clouds because that seemed to be sensible. So if you listen at the beginning of the song, you know, I have this thing on there. It's a delay, but it's kind of like more than one. It's part of this like new generation of like treatments where it kind of crosses boundaries between one thing and another, you know, it's not just a delay. Mm-hmm. But a delay, people, is something where you hear one thing and then you hear subsequent iterations of it, like that, right? And reverb is the sound of when you're in like a, imagine like a gymnasium or like a parking garage and you slam the door and it goes,
yes.
That's reverb. They're both based on the same thing. It's a sound bouncing off a physical surface and coming back to your ear. Mm-hmm. It's just that when it's a delay, it's a very focused single thing of that. And when it's a reverb, it's like several million.
Right.
All happening.
More diffuse.
Yeah, well, if you imagine a sound bouncing off a wall and coming back to your ear, it's not just going to bounce off one point on the wall and come back to you. It's going to bounce off of every point on the wall at different times and come back to you all at slightly different times. And that's what creates that illusion of reverb. It's a million individual delays hitting your eardrums at different times on both sides of your head. But like there are computer simulation things that kind of take these ideas with them because they're not like actual real world things. They can extend them further.
Right.
So I was able to get this thing where like the voice itself is still really clear at the center of your head, but then it creates clouds around it, you know, like little, and I wanted to make it be like a little gathering storm, but not in an ominous way because it's not an ominous song.
No.
You know, more like happy gathering clouds was kind of like my personal design brief for that one. So that's what I was going for in the first, you know, for the main vocal in the first part of the song. But then I was able to, by automating some of the parameters of that effect, I was able to do little like things where like I was able to make it sound like the vocal, like that little cloud of vocals is gathering into a storm. There's this attribute of both reverb and delay called feedback, which is how long does it go on? How many times does it feedback into itself and like happen again, you know? And like for a delay, if you have very little amount of feedback, it would just be like one little repeat. But if you have a lot of feedback, it would be like many repeats, right? And you just change that by changing the feedback parameter from 0 to 100%. But you can automate those things. It's a knob that you can turn, and mm-hmm. you can record that turning. And so what I was able to do as it progresses in, you know, into the second verse is to start automating just little swells of that up and down, so you can hear it kind of gather and then dissipate and then gather and dissipate. Mm-hmm. That behavior really kind of crests going into chorus two, uh-huh. which is when all the big instrumentation kicks in, the yeah. drums really kick in yeah. and the whole thing, you know. And to me, that's kind of like when the storm cloud has gathered. You yeah. know, that's when that...
Definitely.
Sort of manifests, you know. And then that energy kind of carries forward from there. There's some other sounds at that time I introduced that are just like thunder sounds. And I just want people I want people to know that that is from a 45-ish year old synthesizer that yes. we own. Yes. It's a Moog. That's the one that's M-O-O-G and it looks like Moog, but it's actually Moog. Mm-hmm. And it's just a little like 2 foot wide synthesizer that I've had for many, many, many years.
And it makes great thunder sounds.
It's the best. Yeah. Like all synthesizers, like analog synthesizers, always have a noise generator on board. Many people don't know that because you don't think about them as making noisy sounds. You think about it as being more like musical.
Like the president.
Yeah. Not enough people. Yeah. People don't talk about the noise generator. Not enough people are talking about it. I talk about it. Oh, for Christ's sake. Yeah. Although if I were really yeah. sounding like him, I would string every clause together with the word but, and they would all be contradictory.
That's true.
But I talk about it a lot, but a lot of people aren't talking about it. But not enough people are talking about it, but I'm talking about it.
It would only also stand up to comparison if you were talking about something that you literally just learned about 5 minutes ago.
Yes. And also
that's when he uses
and
that.
Also still didn't know a single thing about it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, right? It's the noise generation. What? Yeah. So, there's a noise generator, people, inside synthesizers. And if you turn the music-sounding ones off, you can just use the noise one. You can make thunder sounds.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
And then you put that thunder in, like, to reverb, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah, that's it. And I made all those thunder sounds manual. I played them all in live in real time. Mm-hmm. So that's not like something I found on the internet and pasted in there. It's like something I actually played in. Like it's actual like mm-hmm. synthesizer thunder. Mm-hmm. And so then finally back to the vocal treatments, right? Yeah. And so then we go into kind of like the breakdown things kind of, you start hearing the individual voices there, you know, mm-hmm. for the force we make, many is one, is light and heat greater than the sun.
Yeah.
Right? And then, you know, there's that single voice that says that, and there's a second voice that comes in and says that, and these little individual voices keep coming in and populating, and to me, those are like individual water droplets almost, is how I was thinking about it, you know? And they are the things that are kind of making that beautiful rain. But then there's like a lead vocal that comes in, and I put that bone frickin' dry right up the center.
Uh-huh.
The idea being that that's the solidity, that's the metaphor of that solid anchor that all those voices together make.
Cool.
Yeah. So I don't know. That was my thought process going through that. It was a really vocal treatment centric process for me on this one. I focus on, people have heard me talking about like my process for this entire record almost at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I have different things I focus on for different songs for sure. And for this one, it really seemed like mm-hmm. the vocals were the lever that would be the most rewarding to pull on. So
that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did a lot of heavy production before bringing this one to you. So
yes, you did.
There was a lot already going on.
She had synthesizers. She had chose really good sounds. I don't think I replaced really any of your sounds on this one. Like you really chose sounds intentionally on this one.
I was super proud of the hi-hat in this song.
Yes.
The little ticka 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 thing that you hear.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it was a hi-hat that had some delay on it. And to me, that was like, it sounds like raindrops.
And you know what I did to enhance that? I'm glad you mentioned it. Mm-hmm. I put a ton of reverb on that, but I took all of the low end off the reverb. So it's just like this little extra layer of
sprinkling.
Well, I want it to sound almost like hitting pavement. Like that sort of sizzly sound that rain has when it's hitting the pavement. It's just high ends.
It sounds like rain hitting a tin roof, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I was just extending Shannon's metaphor there, really.
Appreciate that.
Yep.
One of my favorite musical moments on this song is when those tubular bells come in at the end. The dong, 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 dong.
Wonderful.
Like, it's just like we're going to church or something. Yep. I don't know. Like, it was just, it's the big celebratory
moment. That's good. You did that. That's you.
Moment.
And bells, you know, people, you've known now because we've been talking about this. Bells are a leitmotif on this record.
That's right.
It's a recurring metaphorical musical theme.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. So they showed up in all their glory at the end of this song.
And so glorious.
One of my favorite moments. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a little bit of trivia for the live performance of this song. At the end of the song, we have a track going for this one. Instead of a drum machine.
Yes.
And those tubular bells are on the track. I'm not playing them. But at the end of the song, the parts that I am playing live stop. But the tubular bells, there's three tubular bell hits, and I just mime hitting them on my red keyboard. So if you see me going with great gusto and flair, dong, dong, dong,
now
those last few notes.
Now you know all our secrets.
I'm often not even hitting a key. I'm just touching somewhere plastic on that keyboard that doesn't make sound. Yeah. But
that's,
you know,
amazing.
You can't have sound going with no physical counterpart. That would be weird in a live performance. So yeah. you do the extra work.
So you told me that you didn't have any misheard lyrics for the song, but I happen to know of one.
No, you're right. And it's flimsy enough that I almost didn't feel like it was worth
nice
mentioning it.
Callback.
Yeah. But that you've mentioned it.
Yes. No, we got to, like,
I'm not going to play the song because.
No, it's fine.
It's more of like a. This isn't a genuinely misheard lyric. Like, you can clearly tell it doesn't say this. This is just me making fun of Shannon. This is me just, like, pretending like I didn't hear it right just to needle her.
That's sometimes how misheard lyrics go.
So the first one, it's in the choruses, and it's, "This is how we survive. We're gathering rice."
I forgot about that one.
Did you forget about that one? Yeah.
So the lyric really is, "This is why we're alive, to gather and rise."
Yeah, and you can clearly tell that you say "to" there. There's no,
and so what's
there's
yours?
No plausible deniability that
yours?
You might be saying "we" instead of "to," which is why I didn't really want to count this one, because it's not like I can play it and be like, "See, it really sounds like it." Like with "Like Water," all my misheard lyrics are canon.
Yeah, that's fine.
But for this one, it's
say it
a,
again.
It's a. This is how we, or whatever the first part is.
This is why we're alive.
This is why we're alive. We're gathering rice.
We're gathering rice.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Yeah, that could be a way to survive.
It could be.
I don't know. You know. Yeah.
And okay. There's another one that I did remember.
There is another one. Yeah, and it's just the end of each chorus where you say, "We're hard to find."
No, I said we are divine.
Oh, I'm pretty sure what you say is we're hard to find.
We're hard
clouds,
to find.
Clouds in an endless sky. And that's fair. It's fair that it would be hard to find people if they were clouds. You know?
Would be hard.
Yeah, but let's go to the tape on that
okay.
one. You know, I think I'm right. I'm pretty sure people have a listen. I'm pretty sure Shannon says we're hard to find. Clouds in an endless sky. Oh, yeah, we're hard to find. That's absolutely true. Let's listen to it again. I just want to make really sure. I'll give it a little bit more context. I kind of sprung it on people, but let's roll it back a little bit more.
We're in this gathering, we are to find.
You kind of say we hard to find, so it's not even really grammatically correct. I'm not sure what you were going for there, but it's very clearly hard to find. Yeah. But, you know, I think that that's literally true. You know, the earth is a big place. And if you're a cloud up there, maybe you're really high, you know.
We hard to find.
We hard to find. It's true.
Oh,
I think we are.
I needed that. Thanks.
Sure. Happy to help.
Oh my gosh. Hey, thanks for a great breakdown of that song.
Yeah. By the way, you were saying earlier, you can't just BS your way through science.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really ironic because if you do get all the way through science, what do you get? A BS.
Oh,
so that's weird.
I have a BS in science.
You do.
For which I did not BS my way through school.
I know.
So
oh, the irony.
Interesting. Mm.
But not that interesting.
Y'all, thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
Yeah.
What fun. We are grateful that you've spent some time with us today.
Yes, we are. So here's the deal, people. If you are a supporting member, thank you. You're making our lives literally possible right now. And I mean literal in a literal way, not in the new way that means metaphorical. Literally, you are making our lives possible. And you're also making possible the good things that we endeavor to put into the world. If you are listening to this and you are not yet a supporting member, please consider becoming one. It's inexpensive. It's a way for us to crowdsource a partial monthly income for the work that we do. And you can get in on that action if you want to help in a very small way support me and Shannon and the work that we're doing. You go to misfitstars.com/join. We'll invite you to that private Misfit Stars Facebook group, which is, of course, the best place on the internet, TM. And we would love to have you in there. And you can get in on those deep, positive conversations that we're having so many of these
days. Yeah, and you know, I'm going to interject here. You're not expecting this, but we were having a conversation with one of our Misfit Stars supporting members recently, and she expressed how, you know, she really enjoys listening to the podcast. She finds it to be comforting to listen to us hashing through the same stuff that she's trying to hash through in her life and in the world. And she said she had this thought that, you know, gosh, I would really love to be doing that kind of work also, but I have this job I've got to go to, and I'm very busy, and my plate is full, and I'm like, But the thing is, like, you're actually a part of making this kind of thing exist in the world because of your support for what we're doing. Like, you are an essential part of this.
Yeah.
And so that goes for all of our Misfit Star supporting members. Like, you know, if this is valuable to you, awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. We're glad to hear that. And also, for those people for whom this is a value, your support is making this happen.
That's true.
It wouldn't be happening without it. So you're every much a part of this as we are.
Misfit Stars, we make art so you don't have to. Whoa. You know, people, how we were talking last week about how Shannon talks to her hands and bonks her microphone off?
I just
off?
Did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All I have to say now is thanks and see you next week.
Yeah. And you were so close. You got so close to the end of the episode. Well, you know.
It happens.
Tomorrow's another day.
Uh-huh.
All right, people. Thank you for spending a little bit of time with us. We love you guys.
We'll see you next week. Take care of yourselves.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.